Hey everyone, welcome to the Nursing Insights Podcast. My name is Stephanie and I'm a registered nurse practicing in the state of New Jersey. Getting right to it, the state of healthcare right now is tough, to say the least. Let's just say that the nursing shortage does not spark joy. We can sit in that and stew in it for a while, but we can't live in it forever. Things are changing. So join me as your host as I partner with the New Jersey Collaborating Center for Nursing to hear from nurses across the state about their experiences, trials, and triumphs in the nursing profession. Today, we have Dr. Edna Cadmus, the Executive Director for the New Jersey Collaborating Center for Nursing. Today, we're going to be going over the New Jersey Nursing Data and Analysis Report that was released just this past January. Edna, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you.
Could you tell us a little bit about the Collaborating Center before we get started?
Absolutely. So the New Jersey Collaborating Center was established in 2002 by legislation. And the reason why it was established was we needed to have a workforce center that specifically looked at nursing supply and demand. And our goal was really to make sure that we were the dominant voice for nursing workforce issues in the state of New Jersey. This was actually funded through licensure fees and grants that the center goes for to help in terms of supporting the nursing workforce and informing policy. So the goal is for us to collect the data so that we can help in influencing and making changes in the nursing workforce.
And what are some of the sources of this data? You said some of it comes through the licensure renewal. And then where else do you find this data?
So the center actually collects data from all of the schools of nursing through our center. We send them a survey on an annual basis to get a better understanding of the supply of nurses coming in. We want to know their enrollments. We want to know when they're going to graduate, how many graduates we have, you know, how many have been successful, how many have not been successful, the demographics of our nursing workforce, because as everybody knows, it's important for us to have a diverse nursing workforce. So, you know, we look at that as well in terms of education and number of faculty. You know, how many faculty are out there? How many are full-time? How many are adjuncts? So we can understand the workforce of the faculty as well in that educational capacity report.
I see. And what about some of the other data points, such as we have nurses looking at specialties or retirements? Where does that data come from?
So the workforce data actually comes through licensure renewal. When nurses renew their license, we actually take that data from licensure renewal and do the analysis and then aggregate all of that information together to have an understanding of what does that workforce look like? Where are they working? Are they full-time? Are they part-time? Do they have more than one job? What's the setting that they're in? Why are they unemployed? We look at all of those factors when we're looking at the workforce supply that's in the workforce now. And then the final report is our demand data. And that's through special proprietary data. But we take all of the postings that have been done and look at the postings for nurses and then identify from that report how many nurses are working in a county and what's the demand for them and how intense is that turnover in the different nursing groups. So LPNs, RNs, advanced practice nurses, what's the salary look like? You know, are there high turnovers in some of those sectors? So those are the kinds of things that we want to know. How many nurses are retiring so we can project?
And do you also reach out to maybe other states or other communities for benchmarking or, you know, just understanding data from a greater perspective as well?
So we benchmark against reports that may be already out there. We look at what's happening with the National Council of State Boards of Nursing because they collect data across the country. We work with the Nursing Forum for State Nursing Workforces, which are about 40 in the country, to look at what they're collecting as well and see what kind of solutions we can come up with based on the data that we see.
And you personally, what do you hope to see this data drive?
So hopefully we see the data drive policy change. We do a lot of advocacy as a result of the data that we see. I'll use faculty as an example. One of the things we see is that there is a 10% vacancy rate in faculty across the RN programs in the state of New Jersey. There's a 20% faculty shortage in the LPN programs. That's concerning to us, right? In terms of what can we do about that and how can we make change? So right now, Senator Vitale actually has a bill that he's reposted this session to look at getting $25 million to help support increasing the number of faculty so that we can increase the number of students enrolled, which ultimately hopefully increases the supply of nurses that we have in the state of New Jersey.
That's amazing. So we should absolutely just dive into that. A big point, a big takeaway from the report is that we need to rebuild the nursing workforce. Could you talk a little bit about just that as a goal or that as a topic?
Sure. So, I mean, it's a national goal too, right? We're all trying to look at rebuilding the nursing workforce. We've taken and looked at it in terms of some of the key drivers that we think are important for improving the healthcare system. So one is expanding the nursing education system through investment. And that's just what I just talked about, right? We've got to not only get faculty, we've got to make sure there's enough clinical placements. So one of the things we've looked at is bringing together long-term care and schools of nursing to have them work together more effectively to expose nurses, but also increase placements for nurses, right? How do we invest in retention? So things like increasing the transition into practice for new graduates. We work currently with 23 hospitals in the state of New Jersey with their clinical coordinators at their sites to do nurse residency programs that include really a full year transition into practice program that's evidence-based and is a national program. We just received funding for a long-term care nurse residency, which we're very excited about, to work with RNs and LPNs in long-term care facilities to help new graduates transition into those settings. Because again, resources are always tight in every organization, and we want to make sure that the new graduate gets what they need to help them get, ready for practice in a better way. We are trying to also look at the work environment. So recently, based on our data, we brought staff nurses and first-line nurse managers together at a summit to begin to look at workforce issues. And they have come up with some recommendations, which that report will be released probably within the next month, on what they think could help in terms of improving their work environment. And it includes things like getting rid of technology burden in terms of some of the documentation issues that they have to face, right? I mean, documentation is a big issue in every organization, regardless of setting. And we brought together home care staff, nurses from acute care and from long-term care. So the problems are similar. It's just maybe the scope of the problem in an organization. We want to take this data and say, let's, how do we move that needle? And that's really what we've been trying to do. We've done a lot of work around looking at the APN group specifically and saying, how can we have them be able to work to the top of their license? And if you go on our website, you'll see that we have a lot of education around APN practice and why it's important to eliminate the practice barriers that they have currently. We try to, again, use our data to help provide solutions and educate people on what, they can do to help support nursing.
That's amazing. And this is something that I believe we talked about has kind of been in progress. This nursing shortage is not something that was just spurred on by COVID, but this is something that we've been working toward for even prior to COVID because this was something that has been kind of a part of the system. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So in 2017, actually, HRSA did a study for the nation in terms of where they projected the shortages would be. And New Jersey was one of the top states that were going to have nursing shortages. So we have known that this has been a problem since 2017. And COVID obviously didn't hit until really 2020 when you really think about it in that March area. So we knew that it was nurses were going to be retiring because we had a very older nursing workforce. We knew that there was an older patient population that we needed to serve, and it was going to be growing with many comorbidities that needed to be addressed. So it wasn't a surprise that we needed to begin to address this back then, and we've been working on various strategies. What accelerated it was COVID. People decided that they were going to retire earlier than expected. So we had earlier retirements. Nurses moved to other settings or they went to travel nursing. Things shifted around. And so it created an unstable environment. And I think we're finally starting to see a little bit of a light in the tunnel, right? To be able to begin to look at, okay, now we can take a breath and really begin to be more strategic in our approaches to fixing, what needs to be fixed in the healthcare system. And I think now there's more of a focus on that. So in some respects, COVID may have helped us accelerate some of these ideas.
I see. And it sounds like the framework that you're using within the collaborating center is really this overarching concept of supply and demand, seeing where people are coming into the nursing workforce and seeing where folks are leaving the nursing workforce and anticipating kind of trends between there. Could you talk to us a little bit about that?
Sure. So just to kind of give a sense, supply really is both the educational data from new graduates coming into the workforce, as well as the current workforce. Demand is really looking at how many nurses are in the workforce, what's the turnover of those nurses, and then where are we going to have the gaps? And so we look at supply and demand from that, and we look at it both from a statewide perspective and a national perspective in our report. Some of the demand, I guess, data that I would just kind of highlight would be, we know that LPN turnover rate, for example, was 46% in 2022. That's a high turnover rate. I mean, nobody ever wants to have that high a turnover rate. So we can understand why long-term care really needs to have that support, right? In terms of how do we create a model in long-term care where nurses want to go to work there. And we know that there are great experiences. We know it's a great environment, but we've got to be able to get people into that setting. So we know what the turnover rate is there. And that's why this residency hopefully will help us in stabilizing some of that. RNs, it was 26%. That's again very high in terms of turnover. So we want to be able to address some of those issues. Why are they turning over? That's why we have the summit with nurses to understand what's happening in the work environment so we can help them in terms of having a better place to practice. We saw that the salaries went up in all of the categories, which is a good thing. I mean, that's nobody ever complains that they're getting paid too much, right? And we looked at the projected job market over the next 10 years for nursing, and it shows that there's going to be a continued increase over the next 10 years. So we need to think about that and say, okay, if this is the demand, then we know there's going to be an increase. The only way to fix it is going down the pipeline, right? And getting more nurses to come into the pipeline, getting people to stay in their jobs, and then we can address what needs to be addressed in terms of healthcare. So that's really what we're trying to look at now.
I love that approach of looking at the data, finding the insights, and then going to take action on those insights. So we see what you've been doing and what the state has been doing in terms of trying to take action on increasing the aperture of nurses coming in. You said investing in having more seats open in nursing schools. What kind of things or what kind of actions could be taken to help retain nurses?
Sure. So I think, the first thing is we got to think about our new graduates. That's the group that we have the most concern on in terms of turnover. We know that at 6 months, when a new grad starts into a setting, that's usually when they feel that dip and they want to either decide to go to another organization or realize that they didn't make the right choice, whatever that is. That 6 month period is very important. So these transition programs for 12 months helps them get past some of that, fear. And it's truly fear when you start out as a new graduate. There is some fear, now I'm responsible for this patient population. So we want to make sure that they have the supports to really kind of help them through that first year of transition. Once they've gotten past that, one of the things that we have talked about is the importance of how do we take after that 12 months and help them develop their career path, right? What is it that they really want to, where is their goal over the next year or two? What do they want to be able to achieve? Because now they've kind of gotten that basic foundation, right? They feel a little bit more comfortable. What do they want to achieve? When we had the summit, one of the things that came out very strongly was that they want to have mentorship. And so we're really looking now at how can we ensure that they have a mentorship program beyond that first year to support them in their career path, right? What is that career? Where do they want to be? And the more that an organization invests in them, the more likely they are to stay, right? So we're working with our coordinators on that concept right now. And we're looking to see if we can also get some support to create a statewide mentorship program. So that's one of our goals. We're not there yet, but I think, that's important from a retention perspective. I think it's also important to hear, what the concerns are of the nurses across settings. And so that's why we had the summit with them to really hear what their concerns are, to have them prioritize. And you'd be surprised at some of the things that maybe we wouldn't even be thinking about. And I'll give you one example. They had to rate what project they thought was the most important in this summit. And what they talked about was making nursing services billable. Now, I was a little surprised that that came up as one of the top issues, right? But I'm glad that it did come up because they're thinking, into the future. Nursing should not be, you know, a board charge. It should be billable. Patients come to hospitals, long-term care facilities, home care, because they need nursing care. So we need to begin to start thinking about how do we move that forward, first within nursing, then within the organizations, and then finally with the healthcare providers. How do we get them to charge for nursing services? And this is a national initiative. It's not just New Jersey, but it came up from the staff nurses. And I thought that was terrific. I mean, I really felt like they're really thinking this is where we need to be. So that was a good feeling from that. And mental health. I mean, we have to make sure that, you know, there's the well-being of nurses. And we have New Jersey New at the center, which really helps in terms of stress first aid, virtual Schwartz rounds. You know, we have all the resources for nurses to help in terms of supporting them in their well-being and their mental health.
You had mentioned career pathways, and you mentioned kind of after that early stage of nursing, we have the nurses who are in the middle of their careers. Are there any particular targeted efforts for nurses who are kind of already in their profession, who've already been working for some time to keep them in the profession?
So, I mean, I think a lot of that has to do with the organization. I don't know that we can fix everybody's problems, right? That's not what our goal is. So our goal is really to say, this is what's coming up. And these nurses, you know, they're talking about what they think, you know, documentation burden and some of the things that help or inhibit them from providing the care that they want to provide. I think it's also organizational. I think if you have a culture that really supports and listens, they'll do the right thing for the nurses that are in their career. So I don't know that we can do that, but I think we can help facilitate those conversations, right? I always tell people we're Switzerland. We're here to look at the data and say, this is what we see. This is the evidence that supports it. And then we try to bring it back to different organizations and different legislators or government agencies to say, this is what you can do. When we were looking at the faculty shortage, one of the things we recognized was in New Jersey, there is a loan redemption program for faculty that was never used. So in the last legislature, and it was because of the way it was constructed probably, I'd say at least 10 or 15 years ago, the language. It wasn't being used. And when I did a survey from the center in terms of how many people have taken advantage of it, there were zero people taking advantage of it. And we know that faculty have gaps. They need to pay their loans off. They've changed it in the last session. We know that there's a high interest in terms of doing this faculty loan redemption program, which will give them $10,000 a year for 5 years if they're full-time. And it'll help pay the loans, but it'll also keep faculty in their positions, right? So where you're working with full-time faculty, it's also available to adjuncts now as well as part-time faculty, which is a change. So, you know, we have to look at what's the core or the root problem so that we can try to fix some of the things that are easy fixes. And honestly, that was an easy fix as long as the legislators understood what it was, you know, what the issue was.
We're definitely going to have to double click a little bit more into understanding the landscape of nursing faculty and the school situation. But just to finish out the lifespan of a nursing career, is there anything being done or is there any perspective on our senior nurses or nurses who are looking at retirement or who have recently retired?
So we've talked about using those nurses that are either recently retired or thinking about retirement as preceptors for new graduates and helping in that regard. They have a wealth of knowledge and they can be there as a resource. And we've talked about the fact that this could even be virtual. There's no reason why you couldn't have somebody at home virtually, just like you and I are talking now, hear what the issues are and help those nurses in terms of verifying or making decisions on what needs to be done in terms of care or how to approach that. So I think that there's opportunities both from a virtual perspective as well as developing them as preceptors to help in terms of providing support to the new grad. One organization that we're working with actually has a night resource nurse that they've put on just to round on the new graduates. A lot of times it's building that confidence, right? Am I doing the right thing? How should I approach this? it helps them in terms of retaining their nurses. So, I mean, I think those resource nurses, especially off shift where there's less resources available, is a great suggestion and a way to deal with it.
Oh, yes. We're a long way before we can ask AI to step in and answer those questions. We need our nurses with that wealth of knowledge to stick around and give us some insight.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
You're talking a lot about the education of new nurses and the situation with faculty. What do our data report back to us about the situations regarding nursing schools?
As I said, we know that there's faculty shortage. We know what that is in both the RN programs and the LPN programs. It's 10% in the RN, 20% in the LPN programs. We know that there are nurses that are applying to nursing schools that are denied because there's not enough capacity for them to bring them into the programs. So we know that we have to address not only faculty loan redemption is one way to get people in. We have a test right now, actually in the professional development sector of the school, that is doing a residency for people that are interested in teaching. So we're testing that out to see how that would work to increase, because not everybody may have the capacity or the interest in terms of teaching, but there are some people that really want to teach and need the skill set, right? So we're trying to build the skill set on how to do that. So I think more of those types of things will help us. The bill certainly would help in terms of schools hiring more faculty, and then not only hiring them, but demonstrating that they can increase enrollment. And that's really what this bill is all about.
Wow. And do you see any areas in which you had mentioned technology before? Have you seen any areas, or has the data pointed out any areas in which we might be able to start to adopt technology in ways that'll be able to assist with the shortage? Or do we see technology playing a role in the future?
I do. And actually, one of the things that the staff and the first line managers talked about was the amount of time that they spend on computers. And wouldn't it be great if they didn't have to always be in front of a computer, but could actually talk using technology? You know, you don't have to be very advanced for this, right? That it goes directly into the record, as opposed to them having to always be typing into a computer. And I think that technology is probably already available, right? You can certainly make that happen, but we have to get the vendors to really create that connection, you know, so things automatically go over to the medical record. Same thing with, you know, pumps. We know that capacity is there, so that you don't have to be worrying about intakes and outputs, but things just automatically go over. So there is technology out there. I don't think we've fully embraced it yet, but I think that that's going to help in terms of supporting the nurse to spend more time with the patient, which is, I think, what every nurse wants to do, right? Is to really spend more time with the patients that they serve rather than doing some of the things that take up a lot of time.
And I also see that one of the key drivers noted within the report is also reviewing outdated regulatory and legislative policies that impact our healthcare system and our nurses. Is there anything you'd want to share about that?
You know, the first one that always comes to mind is the advanced practice nurses, right? That legislation needs to be modernized. It's been done in 27 states to remove barriers to practice. And that's an outdated regulatory requirement that there has to be somebody that has a joint protocol with a physician. It's impacting the delivery and the expansion of our ability to provide healthcare. So I would say that that's one. The other one I just talked about was the faculty loan redemption, right? That was outdated. And so by being able to recognize that, show the data, we were able to get that changed. So those are the kinds of things that we really have to pay attention to, like what's burdening you and how can we best eliminate that burden? How can we free up things to make it better ultimately for the patients that we serve in the state of New Jersey?
And this is a question kind of taking all of the data, you know, at a wider view. Would you be able to tell us a little bit about where New Jersey stands in relation to maybe other states or other parts of the country?
Certainly we have a shortage. I mean, I already kind of identified that before, right? There's a shortage of nurses. In comparison to other states, we look at where the highest posting concentrations are as compared to the nation for nursing. New Jersey places fifth in the nation in terms of the higher posting concentration. So we have a greater demand for nurses than the rest of the country, except for those five other states. And those are like West Virginia, Missouri, New Mexico, Alabama, and New Jersey, number five. So we know that we have a high need for RNs, and that's what we look at. Then we look at it by county to say, okay, is it distributed equitably across our counties in the state of New Jersey? And some counties have a very high demand concentration. So, you know, as we're looking at programs, we want to fill those vacancies in those counties and figure out what we can do to help support that county specifically.
Fascinating, fascinating research. And thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. It was so awesome to just listen to all of the wealth of information that is coming out of the Collaborating Center. This is the kind of data that really inspires us, I think, to look to the future and see what can be done, because all of us here want to see nursing just continue to grow as a profession and to support one another within the profession. So thank you so much for sharing your insight. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next time on the Nursing Insights Podcast.
This podcast is brought to you by the New Jersey Collaborating Center for Nursing and the Rutgers School of Communication and Information.